by wearing their hair short, and perhaps I should be among their number. Well, by the next day, I was inclined to think I had made a mistake, and by the day after, I was sure of it. I had almost overcome my pride so far as to go back to the agency and inquire whether the place was still open, when I received this letter from the gentleman himself. Dear Miss Hunter, Miss Stoper has very kindly given me your address, and I write from here to ask you whether you have reconsidered your decision. My wife is very anxious that you should come,
for she has been much attracted by my description of you. We're willing to give £120 a year so as to recompense you for any little inconvenience our fads may cause you. They're not very exacting after all. My wife is fond of a particular shade of electric blue and would like you to wear such a dress indoors in the morning. You need not, however, go to the expense of purchasing this, as we have one belonging to my dear daughter Alice now in Philadelphia, which should, I think, fit you very well. Then, as to sitting here or there or amusing yourself in any manner indicated, that need cause you no inconvenience. As regards your hair, it is no doubt a pity, especially as I could not help remarking its beauty during our short interview. But I'm afraid that I must remain firm upon this point, and I only hope the increased salary may recompense you for the loss. Your duties as far as the child is concerned are very light.
Now do try to come, and I shall meet you with the dog cart at Winchester. Let me know your train. Yours faithfully, Geoffrey Rucastle. That is the letter I have just received, Mr. Holmes, and my mind is made up that I will accept it.
Well, Miss Hunter, if your mind is made up, well, that settles the question.
But you would not advise me to refuse.
I confess, it is not a situation I should like to see a sister of mine apply for.
What is the meaning of it all, Mr. Holmes?
I have no data. I cannot tell. Well, perhaps you yourself have formed some opinion.
Well, there seems to me only one possible solution. Mr. Rucastle appeared to be a very kind, good-natured man. Is it not possible that his wife is a lunatic, that he desires to keep the matter quiet for fear she should be taken into an asylum, and that he humours her fancies in every way to prevent an outbreak?
That is a possible solution. In fact, as matters stand, it's the most probable one. But in any case, it doesn't seem to be a nice household for a young lady.
But the money, Mr. Holmes, the money.
Well, yes, of course, the pay is good. It's too good. That's what makes me uneasy. Why should they give you £120 a year when they could have their pick for 40?
I thought if I told you the circumstances, you would understand afterwards if I wanted your help. I should feel so much stronger if I felt you were at the back of me.
You may carry that feeling away with you. I assure you that your little problem promises to be the most interesting which has come my way for some months. There is something distinctly novel about some of the features. If you should find yourself in doubt or danger, do not hesitate to call upon us.
Danger? What danger do you foresee?
It would cease to be a danger if we could define it. But at any time, day or night, a telegram would bring me down to your help.
That is enough. I shall go down to Hampshire quite easy in my mind now. I shall write to Mr. Rucastle at once, sacrifice my poor hair tonight, and start for Winchester tomorrow. Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson, thank you. You have given me the confidence I needed. I hope I shall not have to bother you again.
For your sake, Miss Hunter, I hope that will be the case. Good day to you.
Well, at least she seems to be a young lady who is very well able to take care of herself.
And she would need to be. I am much mistaken if we do not hear from her before many days are past.
The telegram which we eventually received came late one night, just as I was thinking of turning in, and Holmes was settling down to one of those all-night chemical researches which he frequently indulged in. The summons was a brief and urgent one. Please be at the Black Swan Hotel, Winchester, midday tomorrow. Do come. I am at my wit's end. Violet Hunter.
Will you come with me?
I should wish to.
Oh, good. Look up Bradshaw. Then.
Yes, of course.
Thank you. You know, Watson, had this lady gone to live in Winchester, I should never have had a fear for her. Oh, it's the 5 miles of country that makes the danger.